We've been talking about the inner man and outer man model of Christianity versus I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body model. We've learned about both models from the Apostle Paul, and most of us grew up and most Christians live under the model of I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. I prefer and think that the way to look at ourselves is better to see ourselves as an inner man and outward man. And that it helps you to understand Scripture much better. Many times when I preach, people try to cram what I say into the version of spirit, soul, and body, and they don't really comprehend the depth of what we're teaching. So I want to, in this series, gently and carefully teach the version, the image of the inner man and outer man, and hopefully you can see it in Scripture yourself and begin to have an understanding. Knowledge is important. Spiritual knowledge is very important. You know, if your mama is like my mama and can cook really well, my mama could cook really well and she made bread, fresh bread, oh, fresh homemade bread. I remember the days I'd come home and there'd be a fresh loaf and she'd cut off a big fat piece of that bread and smother it in butter, hot melted butter on a fresh heated homemade bread. It's childhood time. Well, if all you ever do is eat your mother's bread, and now my mom is in heaven, if you don't learn from her how to make it, then the rest of your life, you're only buying store-bought bread that other people make for you. And it's not the same. But if your mom is the best bread maker in the world, and you learn how to make the bread yourself, what ingredients, how much ingredients, when to do what, then you become the best bread maker in the world. That's the power of knowledge. It's passed on, and you learn from someone else all the tricks from their mistakes, why they do it a certain way, and now you could do it. That's the power of knowledge, and that's the importance, in my view, of going this in-depth of learning who we are, how we were saved. It's important. If you want to just get to heaven, the only thing you need to know is you must bow your knee to Jesus and accept Jesus and live for Jesus and you'll get to heaven. And if that's your only goal, then that's all you need to hear. But if you're like me, you begin to get hungry for more truth. Why? Why did Jesus have to come? Why was it 4,000 years, before he showed up? Why wasn't it just Adam and Eve and they sinned and the firstborn son was Jesus? And he redeemed all mankind, and therefore going forward, mankind was saved. Why do we have to wait 4,000 years? Well, all those mysteries are in the Scripture. And they're in the Scripture for you to uncover with the help of the Holy Spirit. And as you continue to pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit will teach you that ancient mysteries and wisdom to your inner man. And as your inner man begins to grow in that knowledge, you begin to understand more from that place. So I believe that what we're teaching in this series is very important. It's incredible knowledge of knowing who you are, understanding why all this is important. Why do we have to get a new outward man when the trumpet sounds? Like the answers are in the Scripture. And the key to understanding a lot of it is in the inner man, outward man. So we're going to look at some verses today and try to get an understanding of how do I interpret the Scripture from I have an inner man and an outer man versus I am a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. I believe the spirit, soul, and body is an inferior way to interpret the Scripture and to see yourself as. Let's start in a couple core verses. We'll do some just bringing up some of the stuff we taught already. Pass in review, Pastor Dave would say. Let's do some pass in review. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet, the inner man is being renewed day by day. So, here's a picture of you having an inner man that's being renewed day by day and an outward man that's perishing. We all kind of have a glimpse of that, but I want us to have a full understanding of what this means. Now, that's from Paul. That's a model of how to see yourself. I have an inner man that's born of God. It's a new man, and I renew it in knowledge day after day. And I have an outward man that's from Adam, from the old, my first birth, that God has not repaired yet or redeemed yet or quickened yet. That outward man, it has a mind, a will, and emotions. But my inner man also has a mind, a will, and emotions of the Spirit that is of God. And I can develop that inner man. Now let's go over to the other model in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I shared in one of the first services I did in the series on how this is talking about you at the end of the earth. When we're standing on with our toes on the new earth, this is what God's talking about. So this is truth, but it's not talking about you now. It's talking about you when you're complete. Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, we'll read verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. Now a lot of Christians take that into who I am today. I'm a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. And so there is kind of comical when you begin to say, well, explain what your spirit is. Well, it's this little glowing light way down in me, and the body. Well, that's the glove that sits on the inner body, and so the soul is what I have to change. I have to change my soul, which is not bad if you're not dysfunctional. Hey, it's not so bad. I just quit drinking. I quit smoking, and praise God, now I just have to love my neighbor more. And that's what a lot of religion lives in, that world. Just love your neighbor more. And so people who have a decent upbringing and discipline and standards, it's not a bad transition over to Christianity. Hey, I just quit smoking and I'm do good. But if you got dysfunction, then your timeline to get that dysfunction out of you, to retrain your soul, is what that model teaches. That my soul, mind, will, and emotions must be retaught and retrained to act like Jesus, to think like Jesus. And for those people, they ultimately can give up. Like, I've tried to do this, but I've just been overcome. And they're always crying for the mercy of God because they're always dysfunctional and broken. And they're always struggling. And eventually they give up believing that they have something great that God wants to do in them. God has something great inside of you that he put there when you were born again. That's what he wants to come forward. Who you were in the past, who you were born to, what culture you're from, your mistakes, your dysfunction, that's not from him. That's why I want us to begin to see ourselves as an inner man and outward man, where my dysfunction's in my outward man, but that's going to fall off of me one day. The new me, the real me that's been born again, can have all of God. I have a spiritual brain that is higher than Einstein's if I will feed it with the knowledge of God. That's why the renewing is in the spiritual man. And we're going to get into all these details during this series. And I'm taking my time for those who want to learn to make bread so they can have fresh homemade bread in their house every day and enjoy it, the best bread in the world, because they learned how to make it. I'd rather you do that than to spend your whole life always needing preachers to bring you bread, and you have to take their bread and eat it for your food. Homemade bread made from truth is so much better. So this knowledge is important, I believe. So if you'll take your pad of paper with me and your pen, and we'll draw a picture of the inner man and outward man. So for your inner man, I want you to draw a little stick figure with a big head because you're smart, and a little body, legs and arms. Okay, that is your inner man. Now I want you to put the word there beside the head, put the word mind, and beside the heart, we'll put the word emotion. And beside the feet, we're going to put the word desires or will, okay? And that is a picture of your inner man. Your spiritual man has a mind, the ability to know God, the ability to learn. It has emotions, and it has a will, desires, where it wants to go. That's your inner man. Now we're going to draw the outer man. Now the outer man, we're going to draw it as this is before you were saved. I want you to draw the outer man on top of the inner man. So on top of your little stick figure, draw a perfect outward man. So on the draw the circle on top, the body, the legs, and the arms, and write over the word mind, write the word mind. Because the outward man also has a meathead brain. And then go down to the heart and put over the word emotions, write emotions. Because the outward man also has a chemical emotions that are of the earth. And then at the feet, write the word desires over the word desire and will. And because your outer man also has desires and will that are of this earth. And that is you before you were born again. You're in perfect unity, the inward man and the outward man. And in the inner man, we didn't write it, but there is a nature of sin that you were born with, a nature of darkness. We're going to talk a bit about the nature again today. But that nature of sin was what you're born with from Adam. You're born with the nature of sin, and you were completely in unity in darkness, mind, will, and emotions. But more than that, inner man and outward man were completely in darkness. Your spiritual brain was connected cell for cell with your natural brain, and they were in perfect unity. Your spiritual heart was connected. Inner man had his heart, its heart. The outward man had its heart, and they were in perfect unity. And so you were in darkness. You were completely in darkness. And then you had the desires of the soul, the mind, will, and emotions. They were in unity, and they were leading you, telling you how to be happy and successful. Then you went ahead and got born again. Hallelujah. You found Jesus. Well, what does that mean? That means you received the nature of Christ. And I've shown to you that your inner man also was brought to life, to light, in perfect unity with the nature. It became righteous because of that new nature. It became in perfect holiness and righteousness. That's how the new man, the inner man, came into existence. Let's look at you in our picture. Let's draw you in the end when we have our toes on the new earth, all redemption's done. Jesus is now king over everything and expressed it. Death has been swallowed up. That's going to be us in the end of times, okay? Armageddon happened. The rapture's happened. The judgment seat of Christ has happened. The white judgment's happened. We're with the new earth. The new heavens have happened. And there we are. We are the 1 Thessalonians 5 person. So I want you to draw you in your picture here. Draw you far over afterwards. So I want you to draw your inner man. Perfect. Okay. Little arms and legs. And then draw your outer man on top of it. Perfect. Before you were saved, your nature was dark and you were perfectly dark. In darkness. In sin. After everything is done and we're on the new earth, you'll be again completely together. Inner man and outward man will be in agreement, but this time it'll be in complete light. And that's what 1 Thessalonians 5 is referring to. I'll read again. With your toes on the new earth, here is what Paul is saying. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body. So they become one again because they're in unity, they're in light. Your whole spirit, soul, and body will be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful to do it. This is a promise of God. If you're born again and you make it to the end or you go to heaven, don't worry because he's going to give you a new outward body and you'll be completely whole. Spirit, that's the nature, will be completely light. Soul, inner man and outward man's soul, I'd probably put a plural if I were writing this, souls together, completely light, and bodies. Inner man and outer man will be clicked together in perfect light. So the one on the left is you before you were saved. Your spiritual mind and your natural mind were completely dark. Your emotions, your heart of your spirit, and the heart of your outward man were completely dark. And your desires and will were completely from darkness, because that was your nature. All your intellect, all your emotions were from darkness. And then in the end, the amazing part of salvation, the amazing miracle, is God is able to rebuild everything around you that came from Adam, that came from your first birth, your birth into a family of darkness. He was able to replace every part of you to where there's nothing left in you that's from Adam, but you're still there. You think about it, how is that even, it's a miracle. How is it even possible that God was able to take me, Alan, and place me in another species, a completely different species? How far is the children of the world compared to the children of God? Well, as far as lightness is from darkness, that's the difference of species. So we're not just fixing our life. See, the picture of the inner man and outward man says you're not fixing your life. You're building from a perfect beginning. Your birth into God was perfect. You were not lacking anything. You now have the ability to grow and become all that you want in God. While you're still struggling with the outward man, you're not trying to fix the outward man. It's nice to say, just live like God, live good, live holy. And a lot of preaching on how we're supposed to live. And I see people, it's like in many churches, there's an invisible line where you go to church. And if you are above that line, you're a good godly man or a good godly woman. You're not dysfunctional. You pay your bills. You're not addicted to things. You're not a fornicator. You're not an adulterer. You don't drink too much or whatever. As long as you live above this line and have so much income, so you drive a decent car and you take care of your family, then you feel at home in that church because you're above the line. But there's many people below the line because of their dysfunction. They don't know how to pay bills. They don't know how to do a checkbook. They don't know how to show up on time. They fight addiction. They fight desires that are very ungodly. And they try to hide it for many years. They try to hide it, but every time the preacher preaches, they feel like they're, oh, but if God really knew, if the preacher really knew who I really was at home, he would have me kicked out of this church. And so you never feel part of the church because you're dysfunctional. Let me be clear. The gospel of Jesus is for everyone. Even the most dysfunctional person there is, there's hope for you. The picture of the inner man, outward man model makes you begin to fight the outward man as someone who is outside of you, the leftover from your first birth, rather than saying, I am a drunkard. You can now say, I fight with drunkenness. I'm overcoming the drunkenness because my outward man wants the alcohol, but my inner man only wants God, and that's the real me. The real you is the inner man. That's where you live. But you're still wearing the outward man. But the outward man is no longer you. Your responsibility is to wrestle with it, to race against the outward man, and to resist it and put it in its place, and ultimately to mortify the deeds of the outward body. So we have a picture, if you've been obedient and are drawing the pictures, there's a picture of your inner man, or of you before you were saved. That's with your inner man of darkness, and right on top of it, an outward man of darkness. It looks like one person. And that's, many Christians don't realize that they have an inner man and an outward man. Now, in the end, if you draw yourself, you would draw your inner man of light with a nature of light, and then your new outward man that you get at the sound of the trumpet will be of righteousness and light. So you'll have an outward man with a mind of righteousness, emotions of righteousness, and desires of righteousness that will click on the inner man that's already been born again. That is a picture of you after Jesus comes, after the millennium, after all the story of the Bible is complete. But that's you before you were saved, and that's you after you were saved. Where are you now? Where you are now is the picture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll go back there. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. And if you want to underline something for later, do not lose heart. Underline that because you'll see that elsewhere and you begin to see the context of these verses. Therefore we do not lose heart. That means it's not easy to be a Christian, to live for God today. Do not lose heart, even though the outward man is perishing. Yet, the inner man is being renewed day by day. So that is where you are now as a Christian. So let's draw us who we are as a Christian. We'll draw a little stick figure with arms and legs. And the beautiful thing, that little nature that was darkness was quickened instantly into light. That's the seed of Christ in you. Okay, that's your new nature. It's inside the inner man. And now because the inner man received that new nature, it also was quickened and born again. All of the knowledge that outward mind had disappeared because, or the inward mind had because it was in darkness, disappeared. It was rebooted. Now it is like a child. It's like a baby. It's got to grow in knowledge. That's why we have to renew that mind with the knowledge of God, because it used to have the knowledge of darkness. Now it is ready to receive the knowledge of light, ancient knowledge of God, because it's from God. Your inner man is born of God. Now across from it, I want you to draw the outward man. Looks just like it, except it is still left in darkness. There's no nature in there, but it's been stained like wineskin, stained in darkness. And they are connected. They're still connected. But now the inner man is light, and its spiritual mind is born in light. That's why the Holy Spirit speaks to your spiritual mind and not your natural mind. And then at the heart, you draw a line from the head, the heart, and the feet between these two stick figures. And you're going to draw right mind, emotions, and desires. So now you have a battle because your inner man is born again. It lacks in knowledge and it's immature. It has to develop, but it is completely righteous and perfect in holiness. It's attached to another mind of the natural, the carnal mind, the natural brain that's still left in darkness from this earth. It has emotions that are left in darkness. That's the outward man, and desires that are of darkness. And they're connected cell for cell, perfectly together. But now you have a fight because your inner man is light, but your outward man is left in darkness. Look up in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians still, in verse 6. For it is a God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So this is talking about, that verse 6 is talking about your new nature, that God quickened the nature of darkness and turned it into the light. Light shined out of darkness. It was a miracle. The same way light, God spoke, let there be light, and there was darkness over the universe, and all of a sudden there was light. Well, God did that same miracle to you when you asked Jesus in your heart, and he spoke light out of darkness. Out of nowhere came that new nature, came forth. And now you have a nature of light in the inner man. Has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That face of Jesus we learned in an earlier session is in the new nature. That's that light. That's in you. You have a complete seed of Jesus Christ in you, in your new nature. And now it wants to develop and grow into your inner man with the emotions of Jesus coming forward as fruit of the Spirit. And the intellect, the knowledge of God is built in the inner man's mind. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel. Now, this word treasure can also read treasure chest. So this verse 7 is talking about your spiritual inner body. That's the mind, the heart, and the desires. You have an empty treasure chest that's waiting to be filled with the knowledge of God, the treasures of God, by praying in tongues and worship and meditating the Word. You begin to fill that spiritual mind with intellect of God, knowledge of God, treasure, gems of truth, and you fill that spiritual man's heart. The love of Christ begins to develop. The peace of Christ begins to develop. You know, nowhere on earth can you find the love of Jesus. Nowhere. It doesn't exist. It's only found inside of Christians who have developed it. It doesn't originate on this earth. It must be grown inside of Christians, inside of you. You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of God. But we have this treasure chest in earthen vessels. So inside this outward vessel is an inward vessel. And it is a treasure chest where God wants to put the knowledge and His love to bring it forward for us while we're still wearing this outward man. We have this treasure in earthen vessel that the excellence of power may be of God and not of us. God doesn't want the church operating through their carnal outward man. But that's how many of the Christians I know, many of the modern churches I know, are carnal living Christians, learning how to walk with God, serve God, experience God through their outward man. But there's a much better way. And thank God, if you're dysfunctional, you were in that carnal Christianity, serving God, being taught how you should live, but your dysfunction stopped you. And you never fit in. You tried to hide it for a number of years, and finally you just gave up. Well, thank God, because even if you were qualified in your carnality to be a holy person, it still was of this earth. It's of your earthen vessel. And God's not interested in that as much as He wants to develop your inner man. I know I'm preaching lots here. I'm trying not to over-preach, but you're making me preach a lot here. God's not interested in... He'll accept it. You know, carnal Christians still go to heaven like everyone else. Praise God, and that's the most important thing. But you end up hitting your limits, the limits you got from your parents, the limits you got from your upbringing, the limits you got from your education, the limits you got from your past mistakes and things that you went through. You're limited for the rest of your life in your service to God by that carnal outward vessel, the earthen vessel. The earthen vessel is the outward man with its mind, emotions, and desires. But you have an inner man that's now been birthed of God. You got the new nature, which is complete, and it brought to life the inner body with its mind, emotions, and desires. But they have to be developed and grown, and they mature. You don't download the love of Jesus from heaven. Lord, zap me with your love. Make me love my neighbor that's mean. Make me love them, God. It doesn't happen by a zap. You must develop it like a fruit on a tree. That's your inner man has to grow and mature from the new nature. New nature is already complete, but it has to, like a seed, form Christ in you. And that can only happen in your inner man. So if you've been dysfunctional, praise God, because you found your limitations in your ability with the outward man. People who have discipline or raised with strength, their hunger is what God uses to draw them to a stronger message. But for me, it was my dysfunction. I knew that I needed help because I was going to be a mess. Praise God that God loves us both, the functional and the dysfunctional, because we all received a new inner man from Christ, a new nature, and we have the potential, no matter where we are, no matter what our limitations are, on the outside, there's no limitations on the inside because that inward man is born of God. And there'll be a day when the trumpet sounds, you're getting a new outward man, and it will also be limited, limitless, and non-dysfunctional and non-broken. It'll be as righteous and lit up like your inner man is right now, and you will be a completely new creature in a new family, but you didn't stop existing. That's the miracle. That God was able to keep you, that little part of you, I call it the essence of me, the essence of who we are, the me, the Alan that was born whenever a child is conceived, that child lives for eternity. They never stop existing. And God was able to rebuild everything around you without getting rid of you. And you will be completely, fully, wholly back together as a person, complete spirit, soul, and body in the end. But right now, you're not complete. Right now, you have a battle every day with the outward man's desires, the outward man's soul. But the inner man is powerful if you'll build it up and let it grow and mature. Then the outward man doesn't stand a chance. Too many Christians are trying to fix up their outward man, and it's like putting a dress or a suit on a pig almost. And the inner man is where God wants you to grow and develop. And you mortify the deeds of the outward man. All right, we'll stop preaching that verse. Let's go over to Acts. Let me see if I can find it. Acts 26. And I'll start in verse 12. We're talking about the Apostle Paul here. I'm excited to be able to teach this. This kind of teaching is really impossible in a typical church service. Most church services, people need ministry and that kind of thing. So thank you for allowing me to preach this stuff and allow it to come forth. I'll start in verse 12, Acts 26. This is Paul explaining his salvation. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commissions from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. He's testifying here. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So I said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and the things to which I yet to reveal to you." So I want to pause there. So there is a segment of believers, and they're spiritual people, they're hungry people, they love God. But their image of their inner man, which is that their inner man, they tie up the inner man with the new nature. And so they see their inner man, their salvation, as bringing to life their spiritual man or their spirit, and that their spirit is already fully mature and perfect. It contains everything. It's already perfectly grown. I have a complete spirit. I am complete in Christ. And they confuse the new nature with the inner man, but they call it their spirit. And so their philosophy is, I don't need to grow. I just need to change the way I think and accept who I am. So I just yield over to who I am, and that's all I have to do. I have to be bold, walk in faith, and just yield over to it. So their walk of spirituality is more just accepting who they are and being bold and going out. And I find the alpha males like this kind of message because they get to be in charge. But really, Jesus said to Paul that you're going to minister the things that you have seen and the things which I have yet to reveal to you. So that right there, that tells me that there is a lot of work that God wants to do in us once we're born again, to reveal, to teach, to grow the inner man up. The inner man is like a baby. It doesn't know anything. Now, the new nature is complete in morality. Once you're saved, you know the difference of what is sin and what is not sin. Your nature is yelling at you or talking to you, whispering to you, however you want to look at it. We don't sin anymore. We are now righteous. The outer man desires the old sins, but the inner man is now born of God. The nature will teach you instantly and give you the strength and the power to not sin the moment you're born again. But you still have a lot of developing and learning, and God has a lot of revealing that he wants to do to you. Do you know God wants to reveal to you how to overcome the brokenness of the past, how to destroy it, to murder it? That's what it means to put to death, to mortify. the brokenness of the past. He doesn't want you always just having to resist it. He wants you to build up that inner man and then go murder the desires of the outward man. I like the word murder better than mortify. It's a more picturesque. And so he's going to reveal your calling, your future, your victories. He's got so much he wants to reveal to you, to your inner man. The inner man has been created like a treasure chest that's empty of knowledge. It must be built up. That's why we pray in tongues and read the word. We want to develop in the love of God. That's why we worship. These are things that cause Christ to be formed in you. Don't be a boring Christian. Let's get excited about where we're going and let's do it the right way. So there is a segment of Christians, and half of what they preach is amazing, that you can identify with your spiritual man. You could accept who you are in holiness. Amazing messages. Even if you're fumbling and stumbling, you can receive from God because of who He made you. Amazing. But where the other half where it becomes wrong is where it says you already have it all now. Just walk in it. Just go get God to use you. Go pray for people. And if you have a really broken friend in a really like a bad health condition, beyond bad backs and broken knees and bad hearing, take them to these preachers and say, hey, I've got a friend who's got no arms or a baby that's born without a face. Will you pray for them and see them healed? They're going to run from you. They'll pray for you and say, be blessed, and they'll hide you in the background. Because you hit a ceiling of faith when you live for God through your carnal man. You hit a ceiling of faith. But there's no ceiling for us if we develop the inner man. And that's you. That's not just for the preachers, not just for the apostles and prophets. It's for each believer can develop this inner man. We'll keep reading here. Verse 17, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. So Paul's saying, God sent me to the Gentiles. And look what he says. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So Paul's commission from Jesus was, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles to turn them from darkness to light. See, he's talking about being born again, that their nature of all humans was darkness, and the human race belonged to Satan. God, through Jesus, created a new family, a new race, a new species called the children of God. And the only way to go from Adam's family to God's family was to be born into God's family. And that's what happened when you were born again. He took that nature of darkness, and out of darkness came light. Now your nature is righteous. And your inner man was reborn like a baby in knowledge. And now can learn the truth from God himself. But so many Christians are learning how to walk with God and learn God through their carnal man. Their inner man stays like a baby their whole life. One more scripture, and then I'll quit preaching here. Luke chapter 11, verse 33, Jesus is talking. And he uses this terminology, which has taken me a long time to figure out. No one, verse 33, chapter 11 of Luke, no one, when he has a lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. So he's given a reference that your eye lets light come in. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, the whole body is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. It's an odd way to say it, that the light that is in you is not darkness. He didn't say, take heed that there's darkness in there and not light, but the light that was in you is not darkness. And this is referring to the nature. That when you're not born again, you have a nature that produces darkness. It pushes out darkness. it's, you know, usually darkness is the absence of light. But the nature of sin that you're born with from Adam actually produces darkness. It's what makes you dark. It's what makes a human race belong to the family of Satan. But he says, don't let your light be darkness. He'd rather your light be light. Therefore, verse 35, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If your whole body is light, having no dark part, the whole body will be full of light. And when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Really, Jesus has given them a glimpse of salvation, which was beyond their thinking because they were all religious there. No, there is a process to being born again. And he's saying, if you light that candle, that new nature, if you light that candle, it will lighten up the whole inner man. It'll become, the whole body will become light, and the darkness will disappear. There, I believe he's talking about the inner man and the new nature. Well, there's your preaching for today. I pray that I haven't overwhelmed you with a lot of little things, but it's so important. You can either learn to make the bread from your mama, and the rest of your life you will know how to make bread and have fresh homemade bread for you and your family and your loved ones. Or you can just keep receiving from preachers and let them produce the bread for you. And store-bought bread is never, ever, ever as good as homemade fresh bread. So let's learn, let's keep learning the knowledge from the Holy Spirit, growing in knowledge, because once you learn something, he can give you more on top of that. Let's not be boring Christians. Let's be excited about growing in the knowledge of God. Amen. I love you. Thank you for spending time with me, and I'll see you again soon. God bless you.